This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with
Poor Andrew the Apprentice.
On Hide and Seek.
Oh, look, he's probably in some sling on Oxford Street as we speak at headquarters. But whilst he's doing that, I'm very, very pleased to say that the very gorgeous Dr. Lauren Rose Warne post-book launch is with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And the equally gorgeous and no book launch, but many, many movies, and not of that sort, Lauren, is the equally handsome...
You don't know about my filmmaking history,
Christopher Banks. Welcome.
Hi. I don't have a hidden X-Tube history, just putting that out there.
No, it's all very public. It's not hidden at all. Thank you very much. Now, Lauren, you had a great big opening on Tuesday night in the book launch too.
I did, and there was an MC of questionable quality there, but nonetheless it was a...
So many seemed to comment on at the
but
time.
But fun was had by all.
Indeed it was.
And now, you did a sterling job, Dean, and I appreciate your bringing the sass to the launch.
I'm not quite sure everyone got... my sense of humour.
Yeah, more my grandmother. I haven't spoken to my grandmother.
How is Dawn?
Yeah, so for those of you who weren't in attendance, after Dean did his welcome to country, he mentioned the elders in the room and spotlighted my 84-year-old grandmother. My 84-year-old grandmother did look like she wished the earth would swallow her up. So I'm not sure if she's angry at us yet or not.
I had a very crooked back that day, and thanks to your mother, all is well. But we won't go into
that. No, I think we'd be breaching all kinds of...
guidelines.
But my mum provided you a level of service and that was...
And
that did the trick.
As a nurse? As a nurse, she's highly qualified and very talented.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling much better.
Better?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Christopher Banks, what the hell have you been up to, mate?
Well, first of all, I've just discovered, thanks to Lauren's
book...
No, that there's a cunnilingus scene in Don't Look Now. I didn't know that.
Yes, that's actually why the film became famous.
I thought it was for the murdering dwarf. I didn't realise it was for the
cunnilingus. And the reputation that it was apparently so scary for the time, but when I saw it more recently, it's like, yeah, not so scary. But yes, there's a cunnilingus scene.
Well, I will have to revisit that.
I'm not even familiar with the film.
Donald Sutherland and Julie...
Christie.
Wasn't he in Lost Boys?
I don't know. Was that vampires? I don't do vampires.
It's only going to go down.
It's a very
good
horror movie.
It'll go downhill from here.
Venice. Right, I see.
Hide and Seek, sponsored by Manhouse. 130 Hoddle Street, Abbotsford. Manhouse.com.au.
Hide and Seek.
We are with Dr. Lauren Rose Warne and Christopher Banks. They are my special guests. Now, we are going to engage in some cerebral gymnastics. I'm not quite sure.
Are you leaving the room? Because then we can actually do the gymnastic.
I'm not sure. Now, Lauren, I am led to believe that at a magazine launch that is very rapidly approaching,
yes,
which you are being asked to speak at, you will address to the audience why straight sex is just as queer as queer sex.
I will be. I'm surprised you know about this event.
I know everything.
I've just put it in my diary.
Yeah, well.
All right, so Archer Magazine is a magazine about sexuality that's coming out imminently. And on the 28th of November, I'm not sure if the event is open or not. Dean, do
yes,
you?
Yes, it
oh,
is.
Oh, it is? Okay.
We had the editor on last time.
Excellent. It's open. Do come. And apparently I'm giving a talk about my piece in the magazine, which is on... I'm arguing that I think there's a tendency in our culture to talk about the straight sex being somehow clean and pure, and that it's everyone else, gays, bisexual, all the deviants doing the dodgy stuff. And I just wrote in the article, in fact, heterosexuals engage in a whole lot of stuff that could easily be determined as kinky. they're consumers of pornography. They're buying sex toys. In numbers, they're higher. So
they're 90%, 95% of the market.
Yeah. They're using sex workers. So all these things that we somehow have this idea of the straight marriage is somehow a pure institution, I find that somewhat farcical.
Christopher Banks, can straight people be queer?
Well, I think that there's a lot of heterosexual men I know and have known seem obsessed with the idea of anal sex with women. It seems to be
women's lingerie.
That's the holy grail of being able to, for a woman. It's like, I've got to be, convince her to, let me do it there.
So when they're discussing this with you, do they seek your advice on the subject or?
No, I'm sort of strangely, like the action man with the plastic underwear that doesn't come off. It's generally been my relationship with heterosexual men.
Unless they feel that you'd somehow understand where they're coming from.
No, it's never kind of got to that level. It's been just treating me like
a puff.
No,
I didn't want to say that. You can say it.
I've never felt discriminated against by heterosexual men.
Being discriminated.
No,
I've had more homophobia from heterosexual women actually,
which surprises me. What do you mean?
Oh, well, just patronising stuff. I remember when my now ex-partner, when we first announced that we were getting engaged, it was a heterosexual woman who came up to me and kind of said, "Oh, well, who'll be wearing the dress then?" And making all of those kind of really stereotypical comments.
Proving that women are just as Neanderthal as men at times.
Yeah, and then after she thought that was funny, and then she asked if she was going to be invited to the wedding.
Oh, like, definitely now.
So I'm not even friends with you, and you've just said something horrible. I want to push you in front of a bus.
Then if straight men are obsessed with anal sex, as we know statistically they are with penis size, it brings me to the question, why are straight men so obsessed with wearing women's underwear?
I didn't know about that.
Oh, just out there.
I know that most transvestites are heterosexual.
Well,
is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, there is I'm not sure it's as widespread as you're making it out, but I mean, I'm sure you did a lot of empirical research there, Dean. That said, I've heard it in my own and amongst my small sample. I think that I could say that at least one of them had an interest in women's lingerie, but I think that fed into a more general interest in topics of humiliation or fetishes around humiliation. So I'm not sure it's
See,
the way.
See, I get that.
So I think it's.
That sounds a bit sexist, doesn't it? But to say that's a humiliation thing for a man to wear women's panties.
In the sense of the force, in that he's not actually.
A submissive force, you mean, right.
And that a sexualized humiliation.
Okay.
And I think I get that because then it becomes along the lines of forced feminization, where the men are forced to wear tampons. And we don't have to get into that, Dean. I know that you.
You wrote a book about it. It became clear to me at the book launch the other night that the only reason I was invited was that I was gay and that I fart. Can you explain for the listener exactly why that was?
Well, I don't think I've been privy to your farts, which is a fortunate thing.
Well, working on the basis that I'm human.
Sure, but I mean, you haven't let them rip in my presence in any ostentatious way.
Would you like me
No, I wouldn't, but the book has a chapter on farts in popular culture as well as penises in popular culture and a whole lot of different cultural taboos, and that was what my book was about. American Taboo, for those of you who haven't come across it yet.
American Taboo. What is it with you and bylines to your books?
Publishers. I would have,
oh, really?
Yeah, I would have left it at American Taboo. I don't actually remember the subheading, so whenever I have to write it out, I have to do a copy and paste. It doesn't roll off the tongue very easily, does it?
Do it for us, Chris.
The forbidden words, unspoken rules, and secret morality of popular culture.
Yeah. See,
I tried to say that in a sensuous voice.
Yeah, what it's saying is, we're all pretty screwed up.
But that popular culture gives us an outlet for it. So we may not want to have conversations about cunnilingus. You don't want to talk about menstruation. But film and television gives us a voice to it, and then potentially mirrors our anxieties as well as gives us an opportunity to laugh at ourselves.
That's another heterosexual male fetish.
What
having sex with a woman while she's having a period.
So,
which brings me to a really interesting subject. When the figures were announced, the new HIV figures were announced during the ASHRM conference recently.
Oh God, how are you going to link these two things up?
Here it comes. I attended a media briefing as to the new figures, and one of those presenting at the media briefing was Professor Alan McKee from Queensland University, Griffith University.
One of the authors of the Porn Report.
Indeed he was. And he theorised that to get a message across to young men regarding sexual health, there is only one way to do it, and that is through humour and vulgarity. He cited an example where Bear Grylls is pictured covered in his face, covered in blood from eating raw meat out of a animal carcass. And the byline on the picture says, "Real men love their women every day of the month." This has gone viral. So every kid under the age of 16 posts, who's had a blood nose, posts a selfie of him on whatever with the byline, "Every real man loves his woman every day of the month."
But I can remember being a kid at school, and obviously, you know, pre-internet, there were lots of kind of jokes that guys would make about periods.
Well, the Dolmio grin.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
So, and that was sort of started when I was at high school, and the pasta ad, it was always advertised, if you ate this pasta with this bottled jar sauce, you'd get the Dolmio grin. And when I was at school, people would talk of the Dolmio grin. But I think joking about it is not the same thing as actually doing it.
You guys know the Bloody Mary joke?
It's not about doing it.
I don't necessarily think as much menstrual cunnilingus is going on as you may be speculating.
It's more about getting the message through to kids and them owning the message from the communication mechanism. It's not about them.
I think repeating a joke, though, may also continue and help continue the taboo.
When we come back, we'll find out just what is up Christopher Banks's goat lately. There's always something. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. This place about to blow. Dean Beck with you tonight on Hide and Seek. Dr. Lauren Rose Warne and the very sexy Christopher Banks is here. And I want to know what's getting up your goat, mister, because you're being far too quiet for my liking. There's always something that's ruffling your feathers. What is it this week?
I'm really concerned that the current crop of female pop stars are just, it's just all porn.
Wrecking balls aren't wrecking
it's
your
just
balls.
This, pop music is going through this very disturbing porn phase. Even people like Katy Perry, all the lyrics on her album, it's all about giving your boyfriend a blowjob for his birthday.
You sound like your grandfather about Elvis.
No, I'm serious. If you just look, you don't even have to go back very far. Just go back 10 years.
And Alanis Morissette was sitting about going down on a guy from Full House in the cinema.
What about Madonna's porn book? Yeah. Sex.
1992.
Things were the exception, though, rather than the rule. And if you look at Alanis Morissette, she was singing about that, but it was from a point of aggression. You look at that album, there was nothing sexualized about the way the album was presented. The kind of crop of stars that followed her were... they were strong women with guitars or pianos, and they were singer-songwriters and so forth. I mean, it was...
I completely disagree, but what I would be interested is that you seem angry. What's the problem here? Let's just say I would agree there's a heightened sexualization, no doubt about that, but I'm not upset, you are. Why?
Well, firstly, it's boring, and secondly, this is what...
Porn's boring?
It's... the way it's this the presentation, it's boring.
You're not the audience though, and that's
I'm a gay man. I'm the main audience for teenage pop music. No. It's me and 15-year-old girls.
It's selling without you liking it.
But other gay men seem to like it.
Well, gay men will need to find... Well, they may like it. I think this idea of media having effects is overblown. So I think one of the wowser argument, and I'm not saying you fall into this camp, but you'll hear the parenting groups come out against this music all the time, saying that it's turning girls into, using their words, tramps, and selling slut fashion. Now, these are hideous comments, from my opinion. Firstly, you're saying there's something wrong with sex workers. You're using sex workers as a label to insult people, and that somehow music can make me open my legs, which I'm not sure is the case.
Well, this music certainly wouldn't make you open your legs. It's dreadful.
Oh, it's ghastly. I hate this music. I would rather be listening to Bruce Springsteen, but I'm not the audience either.
This coming from a woman who wrote one of her 303 papers in The Conversation about not being able to get a lipstick that you wanted.
That is absolutely not what the article was about, Dean.
All right, I read
Please
the headline.
Don't boil down the intricacy and richness of my prose. That article was about Kat Von D's lipstick Celebutard, which has been taken off the shelves in the US because apparently Celebutard, being a portmanteau of celebrity and retard, is apparently considered offensive. I don't care, this colour was hideous. But I just thought it was a
unlike
bit
the dog dick red that you wear constantly.
Oh, my God.
Which, I might say, features on the cover of
no,
the
that's
wonderful
pink
book American Taboo by Dr. Lauren Rosewarne. Well, thank you to the person who sent an SMS in saying that it was Kiefer Sutherland, not that is the son of Donald Sutherland, that was in Lost Boys. I thought they were both in it. Wasn't who? Weren't they both in it? Anyway. Also, I've known straight guys who love anal sex with women, but one who turned out to be bi. Scotty, thank you for that. Does that mean he didn't love it that much with women, or he loved it with women and...
liked it a little too much?
I think it clearly means that any straight male who has anal sex with a woman really wants to have sex with a man. That's clearly what...
Scotty's getting at.
I think that's what that... And right. Yeah, that's clearly right. What it means.
Okay. So
I had a heterosexual woman tell me that actually. I told her I've got
really?
I've got a friend. He really
are
likes
the
doing
women that you're spending time
really
with.
He really loves doing women.
Where
in
are
the,
you meeting them? Tell us
look,
more
it's,
about this.
It's, look.
No. Just an example. Is this on trains?
No, she was
in
she
food
was,
courts.
She was the wife of a good friend of mine at the time, and she was. She was a bit of a swinger, actually.
Well, that's different again.
She was a bit of a keys in the bowl enthusiast.
Chris, do you know, I came up with what I thought was the easiest, simplest and most worthwhile money-making app thing that no one would have thought of it until I went on an app search for it. I thought, spin the bottle, right? No one would have thought of that. You just, like, give it a flick and it spins and it lands in some direction.
Your phone, you're spinning the phone with the digital... Is that what it is?
Well, an app that... There was a bottle that spun.
Okay.
There's hundreds of them.
But because bottles themselves are so hard to come by in
well,
real no, life?
You might smash it and you don't want glass everywhere if you've got bare feet and you're
right.
About to, you know... I couldn't work out how to develop the app, though, to put your keys in the bowl, like Chris suggested.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might scratch.
Well, you'd just be putting your phones in the bowl now, because that's what everyone had, yeah.
Now, we have seen an increase of some 10% nationally of new seroconversions of HIV amongst the general populace. Men who have sex with men are the largest sector of that increase. Chris, you've always got something to say about this particular subject.
Only because you poke me with a stick around it.
I'm poking.
I really think that you should talk to some positive people about how they feel about this.
I constantly talk to positive people about how they feel about this.
Because...
That's all I do. You're one of the few negative people I talk on air about this. I'm presuming you're negative. I don't know why I'm presuming that, but I'm
just
asking you.
You know, I think a lot of people think that because I have quite strong opinions around HIV prevention.
The thing is... deliver an opinion that is not often heard, and that's why I seek it.
What is that opinion? I'm not sure we've all heard it.
Particularly in this day and age. go on. Some upset some more people, love.
Well, I can't. I'm tired of upsetting people.
Oh,
I'm
right.
tired of upsetting people. I think maybe someone should make me be nice for 24
is
hours.
Is there a
I've got a letter to.
Is there a sentence that can encapsulate that?
Let's see. Let's do this whole straw man thing. People employing the straw man would call me a condom Nazi. Whereas my...
What does being a condom Nazi involve?
Well...
You going into people's bedrooms and intervening?
Well, that's what they think I do, but...
others argue that you have an oversimplistic approach to sexual health and HIV prevention.
Yeah, usually people with PhDs that, you know, sort of...
That have studied the subject.
That have... people that have just spend 60,000 words trying to explain something that can be explained in 10.
Careful, she's written 5 books.
Forget the books. I'm interested in this in the sense that surely you can do more than one thing. I come from a public policy background, and with policy, you try and tackle problems with a number of different initiatives. Why is being a condom Nazi a problem, providing that public health policy is doing other things to stop it as well in conjunction?
My key argument has been around HIV prevention. Your primary target market is men who have not yet acquired HIV.
Yeah.
There is one method, and all of the AIDS organisations, including ACON, still say that the best method for doing this is to use condoms for anal sex. Yet, no one seems to do prevention campaigns that are actually based around the social marketing of condom use.
Why aren't condoms sexy?
They've given up the ground rent, saying, "Oh, well, they don't do it anyway, so who cares?" And my argument has been around that. Well, there are loads of products that are forced upon us that we're made to buy through clever marketing that we don't need. So why can't that same black magic of advertising be applied?
Bingo.
To condoms.
I think you might have a point.
That's all I try and argue.
But when you started
the conversation, I was thinking you were proposing something
radical.
Radical.
I know. But this
sorry
is
if I'm just being very naive.
This is
here,
why
but
I get
I'm,
angry.
I'm missing the nugget of scary here.
Because I write about this stuff again and again. I pull out marketing arguments.
You get shit-canned from a great height.
And people seem to comment on what I write, having not read what I've written.
Oh, that's standard for online, if you write online. I mean, I...
Not like articles about lipstick.
Yeah, like people who don't read anything more than the title and and then cast aspersions on my lipstick.
But that's exactly what transpires, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote a satirical piece about Buddhists, and that just it made... Because I'm an atheist, and I'd had a go at every other religion. And I wrote a satirical piece about Buddhists. It was a light-hearted, funny piece, I thought. And Buddhists went mental.
You wouldn't think there's that many.
Gay men, that's the one religion you can be guaranteed to upset gay men with if you attack
and
Buddhism.
And that fat little guy who's their icon.
It's kind of like, oh, no, I follow the teachings of the Buddha because it's so personal. And it's all about love and peace. Well, no, it's not.
I think it's time we went to my God. Lady Gaga, you're on Joy. Bang them fucking balls. Bang them fucking balls. Bang them fucking balls. Bang, bang them fucking balls. Bang them fucking balls. Bang them fucking balls. Bang them fucking balls. Bang, bang them fuck off the wall.
Joy. Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
You are with Dean Beck and Dr. Lauren Rose Warne and Christopher Banks. Is the sexy bitch offensive, Dr. Lauren Rose Warne?
I think it's about context. I think there's an appropriate time for dirty talk, but if it's thrown at someone as an insult, I think then it can be offensive.
Saying it to your mum, probably not such a good idea.
You had a question.
Unless she deserves it. Like she's trying to set you up with a creepy man, in which case...
Let's move on. You had a question for me, Mr. Banks.
Well, from your thing before, I just wondered, what's mainstream erotic fashion? Is that like Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction?
Maybe it's what you wear on a wrecking ball.
Well, she wasn't wearing anything, was she?
That's my point.
Well, leather has straight and gay appeal, so potentially it's that type of... I'm just guessing, potentially it's fetish wear
that could be the fashion parade of the Emperor's new clothes. That's what I'm getting at. Think about that.
But then they just won't... Well, then why not just say nude parade? Because you'd die in the stampede. Everyone would be coming.
Would they?
Really? You can just download the latest MTV... clip, according to you.
Well, and look, this is Miley Cyrus at her best.
Look, this probably says more about Auckland than anywhere else. But when they have the Erotica Expo in Auckland, there's a parade.
Been to that.
There's a parade, and it causes moral outrage from both ends of the spectrum every year. And it's called Boobs on Bikes, and basically it's just topless women going down the main street of Auckland on motorbikes.
I love it.
And
I've
the
been
streets
to Auckland,
are lined
so
with people
I could imagine
photos.
That being a highlight of the year.
So can I.
Yeah.
But, but there are people out there taking photos. I mean, they could go and download it, but obviously they want to see real
now,
women.
Now, Christopher Banks, what is wrong with taking sneaky shots of people on public transport and posting it on Twitter?
What's right about it?
I don't know. You blogged about it.
Well... I blogged about it because there's been an entire app created for the purpose of
fantastic.
Doing this.
Fantastic! I love it.
It's a stalking app. I can't believe that Apple allowed it in their app store, that Google allowed it in their Play store, that Facebook lets
it
have be on
work,
there.
But anyway,
it encourages you to take sneaky shots of people and upload them
publicly.
But you know, we don't own our own image. So, in fact, there's no laws.
Nicole Kidman does.
No, but unless I'm going to put it on a Coca-Cola advertisement, it's actually perfectly fine. I can photograph whatever I like. Now, if you think that's a bad thing, then potentially the legislation needs to be changed. But someone can take your photograph and there's no breach of any laws.
Especially in a public place.
Anywhere. Yeah. Perhaps not in your bedroom without your against your will, but in public space, absolutely.
Correct.
So an app's just helping you facilitate what's already legal.
Mm-hmm. And a camera would do exactly the same thing.
I agree, it's poor taste.
There's lots of things that are legal that we don't do.
Now, but then you're becoming some sort of bastion of what constitutes decency.
That's my man, Chris Banks, the bastion of decency. But can we have a blog on that?
How can you turn this into a decency argument when it's about invading people's privacy and being a creep?
I actually agree with you. I find
because this app is actually specifically designed for taking pictures of men. If there had been an app saying take sneaky pictures of women and upload it, the walls would be coming down.
And dodgy as well. Don't get me wrong, but I can't see how there's any grounds to have any, to say Apple can't stock it when in fact it's just a... How is it different for a filter on your phone to take any other photo?
Well, you can report content on Facebook. For example, it's not illegal to call someone a faggot, but if you see...
It is on this radio station.
But if you see racist or homophobic abuse posted on Facebook, you can report that post.
Or a mother breastfeed...
Or two men kissing.
I can't even say it. Breastfeeding.
Facebook will remove posts that they believe to be against their guidelines. And I know there have been... Those are two examples you mentioned. But you can. I have done it. If I see homophobic abuse on Facebook, I report it. It gets removed.
But you mentioned Apple getting involved in, why Apple selling the app. And I think... I don't want Apple to be censoring at all. And if you go back, not last year, the year before, where they were censoring a book that had photographs of two men kissing, and Apple took that out of the store.
Well, they still are. Apple won't allow so-called adult apps in their app store. So that's why I can't understand why this is something that they'd be quite happy to stop, because it's sales close to the dodgy boundary.
Well, only if you're upskirting, surely. If there's a nice bulge across from you on the seat on the tram and you take a once over and post that, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. You're a creep.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, you're a creep.
But Dean owns
totally
his
agree.
Creepitude.
I totally agree. But what's wrong with it?
I mean, I've been on public transport where someone...
What's wrong with being a creep?
No.
At what point do we have to start a moral education for you?
What's wrong with me sharing to my mates that there was a lovely...
You're not
bulge.
Sharing it to your mates. You're sharing it to the world.
Well, I think some of the world should see it. It was bloody good bulge, for example.
Well, how would you feel about that if you were a heterosexual
violated.
If you're a heterosexual man, would you be quite happy to do that and take pictures of women and upload that to an app?
Oh, no,
would that
no.
be acceptable?
Women's different.
Why?
Well, because we've got to protect them.
Obviously, you're an idiot.
I completely agree. It's horrible, and there are only people in what are those long raincoats like Dean on transport using this app. But it's legal activity.
Look, the thing I suppose that surprised me is I thought, given that we talk so much about the internet and privacy and people saying, oh, who can see my Facebook and getting freaked out about it, I thought more people would respond when I blogged about it. But no one. They were just kind of, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but people were just like, yeah, that's just the way things are now.
I don't know if it's still at the casino here, but sometimes you go into venues, for example, and they'll actually have signs up that says a condition of entry is that you actually may be photographed and end up in marketing material.
Wow.
And that people don't seem
peeing your pants at the pokies.
And leaving your kids in the car. And people seem not to find that at all disturbing.
Dr. Lauren Rose Warren and Christopher Banks are my guests. Now, Chris, you wrote another blog titled Conversation with a Muscle Man, a one-act play or something.
It was just a really embarrassing conversation I had.
Were you trying to pick him up?
No, I was having a massage.
A special massage?
Yeah, I'm quite happy to say it was a special massage.
A special massage?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, but what was wrong with that?
Because he wouldn't shut up, firstly, and secondly, the things that were coming out of his mouth were so offensive.
It wasn't words of erotic, mood-setting, sexiness.
No, he was going on and on about how much he loved Maoris.
Oh.
Which is known as the
indigenous people of New Zealand, for those of you who might
know
this.
Well, that would take the edge off.
And talking about how, when he went to Auckland, would he be able to find them? And were there gay ones?
Well, you're and from would New they, Zealand. Would That's they a fair be question. Like,
but he's seen once more warriors and he's worried that he might get hurt. It just went downhill from there. It was awkward and racist, and it was kind of just a snapshot of what
was this in Melbourne or was this in...
Yes.
Why was it racist? He was complimentary.
No, he was fetishizing.
Why is that racist?
Because he was assuming that, first of all, that all Indigenous men are thugs.
Well, for him, that was a sexual fantasy, was it not?
No, he was genuinely scared. He was saying to me, would I find these guys on Grindr if I went to Auckland? And I said, well,
in a frightened way or in an attraction way?
In an attraction way. And then he said, oh, but wouldn't it be dangerous?
But this does raise the question that you're asking, is it racist to have preferences, certain preferences for certain ethnicities as sexual partners? I actually do find it offensive. I don't understand how there are people who will only date Asians or will not date Asians or, you know, the no rice queen queens ads. I find it offensive.
I do too.
But I'm not sure necessarily that this guy just wasn't a weirdo.
No, he was just...
chatty masseuse.
No, that aspect was weird. And it was poor service, let me say. But...
Not even... Oh.
But look, the thing... It was the racial stereotyping. Yeah. That was
and
what
offended
me.
Assuming that most of them are heterosexual as well, and would I be able to find a gay Maori?
Yeah, and then there was the thing of going to a gay... Would I find... You know, would I see them at a gay bar? And I said, well, yeah, but you're more likely to find guys online. And his response being, oh, that's because they're all kind of closeted and stuff, isn't it? You know, and you're making another stereotypical assumption that because they're brown, they're on the down low. And it's like, no, and my answer was no. It's because Auckland's nightlife is shitty and everyone's people are online.
And it can be cold, so they're sitting around. So you've stricken this place from your possible massage venues now. It's off the list.
Yeah, but it was worth the price of admission to get the blog post out of it.
I always agree. Bad relationships, if you get a book out of it at the end, it's not so bad.
Thank you very much to Scotty, who sent in another SMS to us. 0427JOY949 is the number. Scotty agrees with you, Chris. He says, I'm often saying to mates, it's simple. Condoms and lots of lube. Okay? That's all. Safe and fun. Thank you very much. Thank you, Scotty. And thank you for enjoying and listening to the program. And congratulations to you, Steve. You are the winner of our double pass to the...
And you have to let us know what the erotic fashion parade thing is.
With the formidable Madame Natalia as MC, roaming host and hilarious Bev Killick as Donatella Very Starchy. It's the... Eros Shine Awards next Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. We might do a live cross with you and The Apprentice next Thursday on Hide and Seek. You'll love that. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are with Dr. Lauren Rose Warren and Christopher Banks. It's time to get sweaty.
messing with people's lives. You can change your name and your face, but the past you gotta erase. Oh no, I'm about your money. Never said the days you want me, money. I can't believe I caught you stealing. All your brothers, all your bitches, everybody fuck, fuck, fuck. But don't forget to wear your condom.
Joy 94.9.
Just for you, Mr. Banks. Now, I think I brought this up previously on this show, but I'll do it again. I once had a friend who had, his particular focus was straight men, and so he would go to your local pub, get really hammered with whomever was at the bar, and get them really hammered with the ultimate aim of trying to pick him up. And I said to him, I'm really quite concerned about this behaviour because I can see where it's going and, frankly, you're going to end up with a black eye or worse. His response to that was, bashed or fucked, either way I win. So what can you do with some people?
Well, there's a couple of things going on there. There's some clearly a masochistic streak. But if you, if you, and I'm sure you've come across a little gay porn, Dean.
No, a lot of gay porn.
There's a theme there about doing straight guys. So it's probably no surprise that that's fetishized.
It's a little bit rapey sounding to me.
It's horrible. And I think psychologically he's potentially got some other issues because if you're thinking getting bashed is equivalent of getting laid, but a lot of people have fantasies that lead themselves towards masochism.
Well, that brings me nicely to you having launched 5 books and your particular fear of book launches. And you're about to get up at a magazine launch.
Well, I didn't know it was open to the public until you just sprung that on me.
It's open to the public, love. And I don't know what difference that would have made.
Okay, so I'm very okay at lecture.
Here.
No, lectures are fine. Talking at people.
Because you're in control.
Because I'm in control. Whereas at a book launch where, yeah, not in control.
Because you were wonderful and lovely and engaging, but I could tell it wasn't the you that I know.
No, and lecturing.
Because you were like at a million miles an hour and not making any sense. And I was thinking, where is this going? But
how are you not in control?
Look, well, let's not psychoanalyze me online.
No, I just
on air.
This is an
outrage.
Well, what is an even greater outrage, Chris, is that she has told me that the title of her next book is going to be called Wankers I've Known and feature a cover shot of me. It's about
it
masturbation.
It is about masturbation. Dean's not in it. But he...
A whole book about masturbation.
What? Masturbation in film and television.
Okay. It's good. Always good to have the narrow focus.
Yeah, because what she does...
Because, I mean, masturbation, you could go on forever, couldn't you?
And there are quite a few cultural histories of it out there, and I'm not interested in the why we masturbate.
And some people do go on forever.
I'm going to cut you, Dean. I'm not allowed to issue threats of violence, am I, on air?
Not
I'm
on
sure
air.
I've breached many a code.
You can do it off air, absolutely, but not on air. Chris, what lays ahead in your next blog and blogettes?
I'm trying to be nice at the moment.
You're being a bastard.
You're
no,
tapping
I'm,
into
listen.
Your inner Buddhist?
No.
Buddhist?
You are.
No, I've had a pretty rough year with some family deaths and some quite dark periods of depression. So at the moment I'm trying to focus on writing things that I think will be helpful for people, kind of things that are kind of recovery focused around mental health,
in a tool type way.
Yeah, just looking at simple things around thoughts and feelings and how you can sort of reframe negative relationships, negative things that are happening in your life. Just kind of in an anecdotal, bit by bit toolboxy kind of way. And I enjoy writing those kind of posts because they kind of help me.
Yeah,
as well.
Because you have to go through the mechanism to write about it, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, what usually happens is you write them, and then about a month later you realise that you haven't been practising what you preached,
right.
And then you kind of think, I should actually do that thing that I wrote about.
Step one, step two, step three, all that stuff.
Okay. And I find that those posts are good because they prompt a lot of discussion on the Facebook page.
Well, that's
what
I was going to ask you. How do they get response-wise to, you bagging upskirting?
Much the ones about mental health and situations, that they get a much better kind of discussion response. So, you know, just simply talking about social anxiety, for example, you know, or when do I disclose my mental health issue when I start dating? You know, that was something that we had a discussion about a few weeks ago.
Oh, shit, it's the end of the show. I wish we'd started with that.
Particularly since I was going to mention I had dinner with a man the other night, and he mentioned a woman he went out with who divulged having been raped on the first date. And this raises this issue of when do you bring up issues that are potentially substantially going to affect your performance in a relationship? Because I found that quite weird. But
do
then
you want butter with your bread?
What was the context in which she said that?
Just brought it up.
Wow.
So it was in between kind of, you know, bites of the spring roll, kind of going, oh, you know, this happened.
It's one way to clean out the crap pretty quick.
Well, he actually felt relieved by it in the sense that he didn't want that amount of baggage. But I'm quite concerned for her that clearly it's not actually resolved to the extent that it's not your definer of your personality. You know,
if it's so centre front.
I like long walks in the rain, and also I've been raped. You know, I think it's perhaps too... Well, it's hard. It's hard.
Because there's that whole thing of, well, when is a good time anyway?
Exactly. And she shouldn't feel shame in any stretch of the imagination, feel shamed about it. But yet...
She may be going through a process where, because she'd felt that she couldn't talk about it for so long, that maybe she's going through an exercise where she tries to bring it up with anyone she meets.
But first dates, I'm not sure that's... Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you both enough.
Of course you can't. Well, you wouldn't have a show without us.
I promised cerebral gymnastics. I think we managed to achieve that. Congratulations on the launch of American Taboo. Good luck with the launch of Archer Magazine. And Chris, good luck with everything that you do. May you continue to shine and glow wherever you go.
Thank you. I'm thinking of making an album called Shart Pop.
What?
Shart Pop.
What's that?
It's basically when you try too hard and you get an unpleasant result.
That happened in Bad Grandpa, which is not a very good film. I saw it yesterday.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.